104.3 FM University Radio Network presents The Good Morning Wake-Up Show, a radio show for the English-speaking community in Puerto Vallarta and Banderas Bay, with your host, Michael Nolan. Welcome.
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grass or shore, don't get your money's worth. Wages show, it had my power at the Yachty Show. It's a dynamo, the Yachty Show.
Nice. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. Today is Saturday, July 8th, 2017. I want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. I hope you're having a great week. We've had a very, very busy week, starting with the 4th of July weekend, which is a big, big celebration for the United States government, their Independence Day. And we had a lot of fun down at Steve's Sports Bar with the group from the Navy League and the American Legion. And I want to say thank you very much to them down at Steve for hosting us and letting us have a lot of fun and celebrating the Independence Day. It's not quite as much fun as it usually is in the United States because we don't have fireworks and parades and things like that. But on the other hand, we get to do that in September when Mexico celebrates their Independence Day. And it's awful fun to be here and be part of that. So we kind of have to trade out a little bit. But it's well worth it. And just want to say thank you very much for tuning in today. We've got some really interesting interviews. One of them is kind of fun and lighthearted, but the other two are really more serious. So I want you to be sure to get your pencil and paper. We're going to give out some very, very important details. So anybody that is here that may be needing a visa, you need to go get your papers, because I've got some very, very important people here from the Mexican government visa office, and they're going to be talking all about what we need to do to make sure we're legal down here. So we're going to take a break, get some music playing, then we're going to have our interviews. So I hope you enjoy the show. We'll be back here in just a couple minutes after a short break. We'll be right back.
I can see you ahead of me, but I'm not always forward thinking. I'll tell you what you want to hear. It depends on what I've been drinking, 'cause everything I do or say makes it hard for you to stay. We both know what it is. Nowadays we talk too much, like you're forgetting all the good shit. You decide what's wrong with me, yeah. I always used to let you say it, but now I like to think out loud. You're running with some different crowd. Hey, both know what it is. I don't know you anymore. Supposed to be the man that I live my life. And your attitude's become a bore, and I'm so tired I can't even cry. Mr. Ultra Sensitive, I'll never let myself forget you. Messed each other up, you know. So I'm sorry if I upset you. Tomorrow is another day, so I'll call you 'cause that's okay. We both know what it is. I don't know you anymore. Supposed to be the my life, man, your attitude become a boy, and I'm so tired, I can't even cry, I can't even cry. Relationship does remains, we resonate on different planes. I could cut you down again, If you was like all other men, if you were like all other men, I know that I could shut you down again. But my friend, but my friend, I don't know you anymore. Supposed to be the man that I live my life by. I live my life. Your attitude's become a bore, and I'm so tired. Supposed to be the man that I live my life by. Oh, yo, attitude become a boy, and I'm so tired, I can't even cry.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host Michael Nolan here on University of Guadalajara Radio 104.3 FM. Today we have a very, very important show. We have some great interviews, but the first one this morning is the most important that I think I've done in a long, long time. We have representatives here today from the INM. The federal delegate of the INM is here today, Senor Jose Luis Velez Lopez. And I say thank you, sir, for coming. And also we have Representative Dulce Guadalupe Sanchez. And also we have another young lady.
Isabel Castillo.
Okay. They are from the visa office from the country of Mexico. And this is very, very important information. All of us that are here have to have visas. We have temporaries and we have permanents. And they're going to give some statistics, first of all. And then we're going to talk about how you can get a visa, the different kinds of visas, the information you need to bring with you, where the office is located. And so please go get your pencil and papers. We need to write this information. It's very important. So again, gentlemen, ladies, thank you very much for taking your time to come to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We appreciate it very much. Mucho gracias por todo.
Thank you.
Señor, you would like to give out some information.
Sí, muy buenos días. Muchas gracias por recibirnos y darnos la oportunidad de explicar lo sencillo que es el proceso migratorio en nuestro país. Yo solamente quiero expresarles que estamos atendiendo una política migratoria de facilitación, de puertas abiertas, porque así lo ha instruido el comisionado, el licenciado Ardelio Vargas Fosado.
Señor. Now for the speakers, the people that are listening that don't speak Spanish, Dulce is going to translate.
Yeah, thank you. We are here attending some politic for the period that we give a resident temporal and permanent, and we are open for all the people if you have some questions.
Gracias. Señor.
Sí, quiero platicarles que en el periodo comprendido del año 2016, el Instituto Nacional de Migración en Nayarit ha otorgado 164 condiciones de residentes temporal y 695 de residentes permanentes.
Okay, in the period of 2016, we give 164 resident temporals and 695 permanent residents.
And mine was one of those, so thank you very much.
En lo que va de este año, las cifras se ven un poco incrementadas justamente por la facilitación que les comento. Van 219 autorizaciones para residentes temporales contra 244 de residentes permanentes.
Okay, in this year are more than the 2016, we give 219 temporal resident and 244 permanent resident.
So the numbers are going up.
Yep.
We almost doubled the permanent or tripled the permanent residents for 2017 than over 2016.
Yes.
That means a lot more people are coming here.
Yeah.
And staying. Maybe it's because of our president in the United States.
Yeah, and the high season starts in October.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yo finalmente quiero decirles que en el estado de Nayarit tenemos registrados radicando en diferentes condiciones, tanto temporal como permanente, a un total de 6,773 extranjeros. La mayoría de ellos estadounidenses y en segundo lugar serían canadienses, además de centroamericanos y sudamericanos.
In Nayarit we have living 6,073 foreigners, and the more nationalities are from United States and Canadians.
Okay. That's interesting to know. Do you break down the Canadians percentage or the American percentage?
El 60% de la población es estadounidense.
Okay.
60% are in American.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is very good information. It's great to see that Nayarit is growing.
Yeah.
And that more expats from the United States and Canada and some from Europe. I know I have neighbors from France and also Italy that are living here. So
almost all the people get the visa by their incomes and the Mexican consul.
Well, I know when I first started my process several years ago, I went to Guadalajara. And it's basically because my wife's family was from Guadalajara. And also one of my sister-in-laws is a very high-up Supreme Justice with the federal law system in Guadalajara. And she had some connections with the people at the immigration office there. So I went and started mine there. But then I came the second year to Nayarit at the Paradise Village Shopping Mall. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give out some information, if you wouldn't mind, Duche, where the office is exactly and your hours.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the address. The address is Paseo de los Cocoteros, número 55, Centro Empresarial, segundo piso, local 2209. Es en Nueva Yarta, in the building Centro Empresarial, front to the Hard Rock Hotel.
Yeah, right in front of the Hard Rock Hotel. It's right where the casino is and the San Javier Hospital, and you're on the second level.
Yes, that's right. And the website is www.gob.mx/INM.
INM.
Uh-huh. And we are open Monday to Friday, 9 to 1.
9 to 1, Monday through Friday. And I guarantee you the door shut at 1 because I was there at like 5 after 1 one day and they were closed. So I turned around and came back. Can you give out phone numbers? Now, if someone calls the office, is there anybody there to be contacted?
Yes. It's 322-297-6343 or 322-297-6344.
Okay. So that's great information. We know you're Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 1, and you're in the same building at the Paradise Village office building where the San Javier Hospital is across from the Hard Rock Hotel.
Yes.
Is it Hard Rock or Planet Hollywood? It's Hard Rock.
Hard Rock.
Hard Rock Hotel. And it's in Nayarit. Very beautiful offices and very well staffed. And I have to say, the people are very, very helpful. And they speak fluent Spanish, of course, and fluent English. Is there anyone there that might speak Italian or French or anything?
No.
Not yet.
No, but always we try to help all the people. If you have some question, go to the office and we can help you. And just go.
Yeah,
don't be scared.
I will confirm. They are very, very helpful. I'd go home every time after my meetings there and tell my wife how helpful they were. Let's talk about if someone needs to come. They're down here for vacation. They decide they want to stay. And they need to first come in and register with your office, bring your passport. What other documentation?
Well, for the requirements, it depends. The process, because not all the processes are need the same requirements.
Okay.
So for be sure, it's better if they go into the office and ask about the process that they are applying, and we can give you the information. And if you can't fill some paper, We can help you too. Don't worry about it. We do everything for help the people.
And I'll guarantee they do that. So there are basically two different kinds of visas. I want to talk about that for a little bit.
Is it temporal visa?
A temporary visa.
And the permanent visa.
And a permanent visa.
But the temporal visa, you can apply with your incomes, or if you, well, or if you have some family bond,
mm-hmm.
or for offer some job.
And the rules and regulations are a little bit different if you're married to a Mexican citizen,
mm-hmm.
Than they are if you're just two Canadian people or two Americans that don't have a spouse that's a Canadian that is a Mexican, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
If you have some Mexican, if you have Mexican family or resident or resident temporal or permanent, it depends. You need go to some interview in the Mexican consul, and they're gonna tell you if they approve your visa or not.
Okay. So when they come to the office, we can talk about what documentation you need to bring in.
Yeah, because when you get the visa in the Mexican consul, they will give you a sticker in the middle of your passport. And then when you come to Mexico, you need to show that a sticker. And my partner's immigration in the airport or in the border, or anyway, they're gonna give you the little form or paper for 30 days. So that means that you have 30 natural days for come to the office and change that visa for your resident card. And
I have information about that too. If you are a tourist in Mexico and if you have a Mexican family or temporary or permanent family, you can change your status too. You don't have to go at the Mexican consulate. If you are here in Mexico and you want to change your status, you can go at the office and apply for a new status like temporary or permanent.
And that's very important that you need to notify your office if you want to change your status. It's also very important to let people know if you're starting a job, starting to work, and then also if you move. I learned the hard way because mm-hmm. the first time I did it in Guadalajara, and I didn't realize I had 90 days to move the address, so I had to pay a little bit of a fine. But it was like going to school. I was paying for my education, mm-hmm. and hopefully I learned enough to where I can pass that information on to other folks. What else do you believe people need to know about your office and how they can help?
Okay, if they want to change, if they are tourists and they want to get the resident temporal or permanent condition, they need all the papers. For example, the marriage certificate or the born certificate. Depend on the country, they need legalized or apostille that papers.
Okay.
Because if they don't, we can use that papers for proof the bond. So it's very important before you come to the country, do that process. And it's very important check the paper, the marriage certificate or the birth certificate. The names has to be exactly like the passport. It's
all right.
Very important.
Now notice I have two different types of forms that are marriage. One was the card that was signed, I think, at the wedding itself. And then one is an official document that I had to get from one of the offices in Guadalajara. And it was a large piece of paper with a red border around it.
But in your case, was because you get married here in mm-hmm. Mexico.
Yes, in Guadalajara.
But when you get married in another country, it's the official paper of your country.
Okay.
But you need apostille or legalize that papers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the documents we need. We're going to take a short break right now, and we're going to be back with some more questions and answers from the representation here at the INM, the visa office here in Nueva Vallarta. We'll be right back.
Tomorrow, You say you love me, but you won't come down. So I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm a traveler, making my way around the world. Airplanes and automobiles carry me away. I got my whole life ahead of me, but I wanna make you my priority. I got my eyes on you. I could be ready to settle down real soon. Oh love, I see you up in the air, love. I know how much you care, love. But if you stay up there for too long, I know I will be gone. You say you love me, but you won't come down. So I'm leaving tomorrow. You say you love me, but you won't come down. So I'm leaving tomorrow. You say you love me, but you won't come down. So I'm leaving tomorrow. You say you love me, but you won't come down. And when the long road is calling me, like a smile that comes with the summer breeze, I know somewhere down here there's a place for you and me. Oh, love.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We're going to continue our conversation with representation from the Mexican federal government, the INM office, which is better known as the Visa office. And again, I want to thank you, mucho gracias for total, for coming today. I want to continue and talk about time for changing. We mentioned a little while ago, if you are moving or if you're changing your status, you have a certain amount of time. And also about the difference between temporary and permanent visas. I'm going to have Duche, if you don't mind, to go ahead and talk a little bit about the time and that you have to change things and notices that we have to give your office.
Yes, when you change your address, your marital status, your place of work, or if you want to work, you have 90 natural days for come to the office and do that process and notification. And that's it.
For this process, Michael, the people don't have to pay anything.
Okay.
Okay, for change the address.
So if you get married, get a job, if you change your address, within the first 90 days, it's free of charge. All we have to do is come to your office, bring the documentation, and tell you that.
Yeah, they don't have to pay anything for that. That's very important, okay?
That's great. Mm-hmm. But if you for some reason, like myself, didn't know and you are past the 90 days, you can come and you can still change it. Everything's fine. No problems at all. You just pay a little bit of a penalty.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And do you know what that penalty is?
It's depend.
Okay.
Depend.
Okay.
Long.
Well, it's not really that much money. I mean, it's very few pesos. Also, while we're talking about payments, I did learn that when I come to your office, and first I come and bring some forms, and I paid, I think, 1,187 Mexican pesos. But I don't pay your office. I come to your office, you all give me a form, it has the amount, and then you can go right downstairs or right down the street, and there's two different banks, and I give the bank the form and the money. They go ahead and stamp everything and give me a receipt. And it's very important that I come back to your office with that receipt plus two copies, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next time when the paperwork goes a little bit farther, you have to, right before you get your permanent or your long-term visa, you pay a different amount. And again, the same process. You go to the bank and give them the form. They go ahead, you pay them the money, and they go ahead and stamp everything and then bring two receipts again. And I believe for my permanent visa, going from temporary to permanent was 5,715 pesos total.
Yes.
It was 1,187 the first time and 4,528 the second, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't all that much money to be legal, make sure your paperwork is in order. And what else can you add to that, Duche, Lita?
Well, only the process are very easy, and you don't need to pay for some lawyer. You can do it with yourself. If you can do it, or if you have some question, don't be scared. We can help you. We can help you for fill the forms. you don't need to pay, because sometimes the people pay a lot of money for the lawyers, and the cost is less.
That's true. I know there's three or four places right around where I live that have big, big signs, and they will help you. But that's the same thing with, like, importing cars. They will charge you quite a bit to help you do that. But I have found personally, going to the office, the INM office, the girls are very, very helpful there, very, very patient. I promise you, if they can put up with me, they can put up with anybody. And they will walk you through the steps and make it a really, really painful and easy process. And let's touch another subject. For some reason, you've been down here and you 6 months, a year, 2 years, and you never have gone through the process. You're actually illegal. You've overstayed your temporary time that you got from the airport. But don't worry, right?
Yeah, because
they have a program now that, and would you please explain the, it's kind of like a process. You can come talk to the office and it's help you out. And it's amnesty, more or less, correct?
Yes, if you are illegal here in Mexico, we have some program only for December 19 of this year. So if you want to get your temporal resident, or you can go to the office and ask about this program, so we can help you, and there we're going to explain about the requirements and everything.
Now, did you say, was that
but it's very important. If you want to apply for this program, your last entry to the country has to be before January 9, 2015.
Okay, so if you were here before...
Without exits.
Okay, so if you've been here since January of 2015,
yes,
and haven't exited, you can come and you can apply,
yes,
for that visa up until December of 2017.
Yes.
So you've got another 7 months, to 6 months to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone comes in and they says, hey, I'm illegal, you're not going to arrest them and put them in jail.
No.
You're going to help them walk through the process. And so anybody that is out there that has an illegal status, don't be afraid. Hey, it happens. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And this office is going to walk you through the process and make sure you get your paperwork in line. And it's very important to do all of this.
Yes, and if I'm repeat, don't be afraid. We can help you. Always we try to help the people for do the process the better way.
Yes.
So if you have some questions, go to the office, and there we're going to help you for sure.
Okay. Well, we've covered quite a bit of information this morning. We can't cover everything because it's a very massive subject, and every individual has different facts depending on what country you come in, what country you come from. And so we can't cover everything on the show today, but we can give out the information again where the office is, your hours that you're open, and please go to the office. They will answer any question that you have and help you in any way they can. So is there anything else you'd like to talk about, senor, ladies?
Yes, don't worry if you don't notify your changes on time, you don't lose your condition. Only you need to pay some penalty. Don't worry, and that's it.
Okay.
Well, we are in Nuevo Vallarta.
Yes.
So if you live in Nayarit, Valle de Banderas, Compostela, you can go with us, and we're going to help you.
Okay. What if they live in Puerto Vallarta proper? Is it a separate office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you live in Puerto Vallarta,
in the state of Jalisco.
Yeah. You need to go to office in Puerto Vallarta.
Okay. Do you by chance know where that office is? ¿Dónde está la oficina?
The office is in where the cruise ships arrive.
Okay.
There is a gas station in front of the San Javier Hospital?
Yes.
Is there.
Okay, so right in front of the cruise terminal where the ships come in.
Yes.
Right by the other San Javier office. That's where the Jalisco.
Exactly. But if you live in Nayarit, so you need to come with us,
mm-hmm.
and we can help you.
And okay? They can help you. And then anybody who lives in Jalisco can go to the other office.
Yes.
And you don't have to go to Guadalajara. You don't have to go to Peak. You don't have to go to the capital. We're very, very fortunate here that here in the Bay of Banderas area that we have offices in both states. And it makes it a lot easier, and you get to know the girls and the guys, and they're very, very helpful. But be sure when they tell you something, you come back the second time with the proper documents, because I think I came back the wrong marriage certificate, and they sent me packing back home to get the right one. But they're very sweet when they did that. And so, again, I want to highly recommend you go to the office, make sure everything's up to snuff, everything's legal. If you have any questions, they're more than willing to help. And I want to say thank you very much. This is a very important matter. The subject is very important to all of us. We all want to make sure we're obeying the rules and regulations. I know all the Americans and Canadians and visitors here, we realize we're visitors to your country. And although I can say my country now because I got a permanent visa, but please go to the office and get everything taken care of. Ladies, sir, very much thank you. Mucho, mucho gracias por todo. Thank you for your time and the information. If anybody does have any questions, they can contact me here at the show or just go over to the office, and they'll be glad to help you. Yes, señor.
Muchas gracias a ustedes. Muchas gracias a ti por recibirnos. Y reiterar que el Instituto Nacional de Migración tiene una política de facilitación migratoria. Bienvenidos todos los extranjeros a México.
Gracias. I want to say on behalf of the University of Guadalajara, President, Rector, Marco Antonio Cortez Gradado, we're an institution of education, and helping educate the public is the main reason for this university. But the radio show is also to help the English-speaking community understand what to do. And if I'm not mistaken, I've got to back up. Duche is a graduate of the University of Guadalajara.
Yes,
are you
I
a graduate
am.
From here also?
No, here. Okay.
Gentlemen, either one go to University of Guadalajara?
Tamaulipas.
Oh, different university.
Yeah, well, different university. Only me.
Only her. Well, we're very proud to have you as a graduate and alumni of the university, and thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, and thank you for inviting us. We are great.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back more with the Good Morning Wake Up Show in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Blues. I get high, I'll explode like dynamite, and I cry till the dust settles down. I get some heart when I'm soft, and I'm cold when I'm feeling hot. Sometimes I guess things just happen too fast. Forget what I said, forget what I did. It's not what I meant, so can you forgive? It's just came my wrong, I'm taking it back. Forget what I said. I can love you like hell, put you under my black magic spell, and I can kiss you like nobody else, yeah. I'll make good of my bad, I'll make nice of all that is said. I'll put all your dead hands on my best. Forget what I said, forget what I did. It's not what I meant, so can you forgive? Just give my love, I'm taking it back. Please forget about it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio. I want to say thank you for tuning in this morning. We're going to talk to another gentleman that is part of my, what I call, VIP portion of the show, the very interesting persons. And today I'm very lucky and blessed to have Mariano Perez Vivanco. And I want to say thank you very much, Mariano, for coming to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
I was very fortunate to meet Mariano just a couple of weeks ago. He has been a listener to the Good Morning Wake Up Show for quite a while and had called into the program, and we got to talking, and I thought it'd be very interesting to meet him. So we did that. And Mariano is the owner of Glass Gallery EM. And it is located in the Puerto Vallarta Marina. He has a beautiful, beautiful shop where we're at this afternoon. And first of all, I said thank you for coming. Could we have a little bit of your background, Mariano, because you're a very interesting man. And
thank you.
You've been here in Puerto Vallarta, you said, for about 25 years.
25 years.
Prior to that, where were you? Are you Mexicano?
I'm Mexican. I was born in Mexico City.
Okay.
I lived there for 17 years. Then we moved to Guadalajara for another 17, and that's where I learned the trade of the glass, the craft of the glass. And when I married my wife, I have two children, so I haven't moved there. And in 1991, we decided to move here to Vallarta to start actually stained glass business. It was a boom in the construction.
Yes.
So we came in here and we did very well for many years. We did most of the stained glass pieces that there was a gentleman here doing the stained glass. When I came here, he left Juan Mall, and then I kept on going and doing many, many, many other, maybe 2,000 projects or something like
that.
Wow. It was a big.
Well, he has a beautiful, beautiful gallery here in the marina, and it is located. Let me let him give you directions on how to get here, and maybe an email address or phone number to where you can contact him and possibly go online and look at some of your works of art. I'm not exactly sure.
Yes.
Give the information the contact information so our listening audience can get a hold of you and come to your shop and see some of the beautiful, beautiful things that are here.
Okay, so Glass Gallery EM, it's located in Condominium Marina Las Palmas 2, Local 17, inside the promenade of the marina, the Marina Broadwalk. And my telephone number, my cell phone, where you can reach me all the time, it's 322-429-7182. We do have a web page that it's www.glassgalleryem.com. And I'm reachable. We open Monday, actually Monday to Saturday, 10 till 3 and 6 till 9, except Saturdays we don't open in the afternoon. And Sunday we all go to the beach.
That's right. You go to the beach, you go to church, and then you do other things. Well, like I said, you have beautiful, beautiful things here, and you range from cut glass, and we're going to get to more detail of that, to stained glass and beautiful, beautiful pieces of stained glass. And then there's some other types of glass rings that I really don't know how to describe. Let's talk about the glass that is etched. You have squares, you have rounds, and I'm talking about anything from a 12 or 14 inch diameter or to maybe 24, 28. And then he even has in his shop a tricycle or a bicycle, an old-fashioned type bicycle, where the front wheel is probably, I'd
28,
say, 28 inches, and the back wheel on it is probably about 12 inches.
12 inches, yes.
And it looks like a bicycle, but the wheels are made out of glass, and it comes with pedals and a seat. And I don't see a horn on there. You might get one of those horns.
You're right. I forgot to put it on.
Put the horn. But he has some beautiful, beautiful works of art. And I really highly recommend you come to his gallery and look at some of the things, because they would be perfect for an office, perfect for your home.
perfect for decorations. And these things are not maybe only for indoors, but maybe outdoors.
Some are outdoors. We have a line that it's exclusively for outdoors on stained steel.
Mm-hmm.
Stained steel and glass, they would go, they would stay outdoors with no problem, yes.
Well, you mentioned a while ago, over the last 25 years, you've done hundreds and hundreds of projects.
I counted about 2,000.
Over 2,000 projects.
Yes.
And I was talking about putting things indoors or outdoors, and I want you to get more details about some of your projects, but there's one special or a couple special I want to talk about. Back in 2000, what year was it?
2011.
2011. You were over on the beach by the Marriott Hotel Resort where you exercised a lot.
Yes.
And tell the people what you saw and the story from there, because you're not going to believe that where this goes. This is amazing. And where it went from one piece of something to a beautiful, beautiful work of art that is in a very prestigious home in Punta de Mita.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You won't believe this story. So if you wouldn't mind, Mariano, I think it's very interesting. Please tell us that story.
Okay, so doing some Tai Chi on the beach, I saw a big chunk of wood about, this was over 15, 16 feet long. And it's round about 3 or 4 feet round.
It's a big chunk of tree.
Big chunk of tree. And it was smashing against the rocks for 2 days. And on the second day, I saw it and I said, I definitely could do a whale out of it. A baby whale.
Make a baby whale out of a great big piece of floating driftwood that you saw on the beach.
It's a driftwood. So the thing was to, I brought in a tractor. We couldn't do it with a tractor. I brought in a construction. It couldn't go out with, we just keep breaking things and going into the sand. The third machine on the third day I brought is a big construction machine with a four-wheel drive. And that took it out of the sand. We pulled it to the sand. We took it out of the sand. We dumped it into a dump truck. And the Merritt guys were awesome because we know we were friends, and they just say, you come take it, okay? So they let me into the back door. We go out, and it couldn't fit in my warehouse. So I left it on the outside of on the parking lot to dry.
Yeah.
And it dried there for 6 months. And when it was already past when it was the dry season, we started chopping it off and making a little form out of it. And at that time, I had a client from Punta de Mita, went into the workshop, and he asked me what it was, and I say, it's going to be a whale, and he was
A humpback whale.
He saw it, sort of, okay, I believe, and he went. Anyway, we started doing that. We did that one pretty quick. In about a month, it was finished. I got the everything. I'm very much into recycled pieces and recycled art. So to do the tail that I want to do in stained steel, I looked for it in the scrap yard, and then I found a big industrial dryer door, and I cut it around because it had had some curves for the shape of the tail and everything. We soldered, I have very good labor in my workshop. So we soldered, we put it together, and then was, and suddenly, you know, and this went on and on, and as we were doing it, more work on it, we had to hang it on a tripod so we could work on both pieces, and many people went around the main avenue.
Uh-huh.
And the conversation everywhere was, how is your whale going? And I said, okay. And in 1 month, I got it done, I got it ready, and I made a presentation out of it. I have even a booklet.
Yes.
And the presentation was done in PowerPoint and that. And I took it to this gentleman that asked me what it was going to be. And when he saw what it was, he liked it, he had a place for it, we made the deal, and we just went and installed the piece in there.
You would not believe this book that Mariano has put together about Now, there's about a dozen pictures here of what it looked like as just a great big giant 900-pound dry, 2,000-pound piece of wet driftwood, a huge portion of a tree. Like you said, it's over 15 feet long and about 4 foot in circumference, and with wood carving tools, with a lot of work, with a lot of imagination.
Sanding it. And drilling and...
He shaped it. He drilled it. He put a huge piece of an old dryer door made out of stainless steel on it and made a giant humpback well, and then turned around and found a client to buy it, and now it's in his beautiful yard, I guess,
yes.
In Punta de Mita.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. It's
hard to describe over the radio. It's unbelievable to see in real life.
Then
it's amazing.
Then my wife said, no more big things.
No more big things.
No more big things. So, and then she finds a piece of wood in Nueva Vallarta.
Yeah.
That it's buried, partially buried. So I go and unbury it, take it out, and guess what? It was another big whale. So I made another one.
Yeah.
I made another one. I made a big one. And I made it's totally different wood.
Yes.
It's another piece that has a lot of holes in it. But then I made it, and we had it for display at the West in Virginia for about a year. And then a buyer from Chapala Lake Hotel.
Yes.
And
Chapala
Lake.
And that's where it is now.
It's now in Chapala Lake.
Well, I can't wait to go to Chapala and see this thing. But Mariano, we have to take a break right now. We're going to do so real quick, and we'll be right back with more of your interesting stories.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Okay.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright and be strong. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. May your hands always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of change shift. And may your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. And may you stay forever young. May you stay.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to continue our conversation with Mariano, the owner and founder of the Glass Gallery, EM, here in the Marina Puerto Vallarta. We were just talking about a 15 foot by 4 foot around. It's been carved down now to a well, a humpback well that is unbelievable. You have to go by there and see it. and many of the other programs and projects he's done. But one thing I want to talk about, many, many years ago, and some of the older people in Puerto Vallarta will remember all this, the main cathedral at the downtown area had a great big clock in it. And then here comes the hurricane. And do you remember what year that was?
That was 1995.
1995. And not only did the tower, I guess, of the church collapse, the crown fell, and la, 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 and everything was terrible. But 3 or 4 years later, you found the clock, the working mechanism of the clock, correct?
Well, what I found, the guy from the scrap yard,
yes,
he told me, Mariano, I have something that you can do something with it. You might be interested. So I saw it. It was full of cement and dirt and rusted and all that. And I liked it, but I didn't know where it was. So we made the deal. I took it to the workshop, and I kept it there for 3 years until I was had to move. Then I started inquiring where it was. I made sure it was the one of the top.
The working mechanism of the clock that was in the tower at the Cathedral of Puerto Vallarta.
Because I found the lifts and a crank.
The crank for it?
Yeah, the crank for it. That it went into that one, and I found them still on the tower of the church. So I made a deal with the priest, and he sold them to me, and we started making a new show tower clock with that piece.
So you took a piece of old scrap junk that had been laying in a junkyard, you kept it for 3 years, then you turned it into a magnificent piece of art with a glass frame.
With a glass and with
that you made with your custom glass. And this is another spectacular work of art that you did that, unfortunately, like the humpback whale, it's not on display for the public to see. Another one of his private clients in Punta de Mita bought it after he saw how beautiful it was and the finished work of art. And so that is a real unbelievable find. The Lord has blessed you with washed up trees and old pieces of junk clock, which has a very, very historic value.
Yes, it is.
And
I had a gorgeous piece and I didn't know. But when you start inquiring and working on it and making the finding the right pieces and all that, it all came together. It all came nice. It was a very sweet project to develop, and it was like blessed because everything came together nicely.
And instead of like the well, where it took 6-8 months, this thing took 4 or 5 years. Because of the 3-year sitting period and
with the 3-year sitting period, it took 4 years because that made that one in about a year.
Well, so far we've been talking to you for about 20 minutes and you haven't done anything interesting yet. I'm being very facetious. Some of the stuff he does, besides making beautiful, beautiful works of art out of stained glass and out of etched glass, you do bronze also, some sculptures in bronze. And
I do a little bit in bronze. I've done the model of the humpback whale in bronze.
Okay.
And some turtles, some baby turtles.
The baby sea turtles.
The baby sea turtles from that here we see on the bay. I like that one. I have a line of turtles.
Yes, oh, that's a big sea tortoise made out of some type of wood.
Parota wood. Parota
wood. That is stainless steel?
And stainless steel. Parota wood is the wood that we have here in the region. It's a tropical wood. Bugs don't like it. It has a beautiful color. It's good for interior, exterior.
Sounds like a Juana Coxley tree.
It's Juana Coxley and Parota,
okay.
It's the same.
It's the same.
Different name, just two names. Juana Coxley or Parota. That's it.
It's taken me a year and a half to learn how to say Juana Coxley. I usually, when I talk about the flea market, I call it the La Cruz La Cacahuate.
Yeah, no.
And the reason I say that is because there's a lady up there that makes the best peanut brittle and peanut butter I can find here, and she sells at the flea market on Sundays up there.
Yeah.
And so I just started calling it La Cruz La Cacahuate after peanut when it. But I finally learned how to say Juana Coxley. So I congratulate myself on that.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, so my idea of doing that, besides doing glass, doing all these wood carvings and wood pieces of the animals, marine animals that we have on the bay,
mm-hmm.
I think it's my part to have people conscious about the beauty of the pieces, so of the animals. So I make whales, I make turtles, I make dolphins, and
I see a seagull head over there.
Yeah, seagull head, and then seahorse.
Seahorse, beautiful
seahorse. So it's my homage to nature, like doing what we have here,
mm-hmm.
to honor and to make a conscience about it.
Well, I know you have some beautiful, beautiful works of art, and again, I highly encourage everybody to come to the Glass Gallery, EM, here in the Bay of Banderas, Puerto Vallarta Marina. Beautiful, beautiful shop. And just look around. And you can also find some of his different works of art, maybe scattered around town. Are there any other pieces that are open to the public where we may be able to see something, not in some private collector's home?
I have a collection there in the Four Seasons, and I do have another collection of bicycles and tricycles in Guanajuato, in San Miguel de Allende, Guanajuato.
Okay.
I have there, and that's another place where you can find it.
Well, I know you're into other things besides stained glass and carving and artists. You also give back a lot to the community. And we're going to take another short break, and then if you don't mind, I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about that, okay?
Great. All right. Okay.
Okay, we'll take another break. We'll be right back.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mommy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad thing for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the low man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know who's in the best-selling shallow. Is there life on Mars? Tortured brow that Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Blue Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog, and clowns. But the film is a sad thing for, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be writ again, as I ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest shallow. Take a look at the low man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know who's in the best-selling shallow.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mariano about some of the different charities and things that he has given back to over the many years, him being here, him and his lovely wife, here in the Puerto Vallarta area. And I'm going to give him a little bit of opportunity to talk about those.
Okay. What I mentioned to you is that we belong to an association. We helped build up an association that is called Therapies Unite Mexico. Therapies Unite was built by Laura Brown, a British therapist, a young girl in the 30s. And when she started doing this, she was working 6 months in Europe, in England, getting some money and coming back here and spending the other 6 months giving to, especially to handicapped children.
Yes.
So our association, it's basically for handicapped children, but we do have adults and we do care about anybody that's in the need of equipment, for instance. Laura sends about one container, it's about 15 tons of equipment. It's equivalent to over 100 wheelchairs.
Wow.
Every year, she sends them to Manzanillo or Monterrey, or because we're linked with another center in Monterrey. And they come here, and each one of the chairs, it's given out to whoever it needs the chair, a handicapped children in preference. But we measure the children, we adapt the wheelchairs to make them not only comfortable, but to try to make them the best position possible. It's more than just giving wheelchairs out. It's setting them up for the right, for their whatever they have,
yes,
for their elderly, their positions, the age, their actions or whatever they do.
Being more mobility. Some are very mobile, some aren't very mobile. And these are not the electric high-powered wheelchairs. These are just basic wheelchairs. But children that are very, very handicapped, that cannot walk, are in great need of them. And unfortunately, they're pretty expensive. And your organization gives them out to the children, mm-hmm, after you've customized them for each child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how many have you given out over the years?
This is the third year that the container comes in. So I'm going to say about 300 now.
That's unbelievable. That is such a kind thing that you all do. And it's a lot of work. But how can other people say, I had an aunt or an uncle or someone that's passed away and I have an old wheelchair and I want to donate it. Can we go ahead and donate that, mm-hmm, to you?
Yes, yes.
Give us some instructions on how we can get a hold of you. Not for the glass gallery, but for the wheelchair donations. Or maybe we know a child that is our neighbor or lives down the street that is in great need, but you all don't know about him. How can we contact him to make you aware of these children?
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. During 6 months of the year, we have a therapist here in charge,
mm-hmm,
that is called Nadia. Her name is Nadia. And I will give you a phone number for that, for her. And right now, as our offices have been moving one place to another because we work in charity only, we work on donations, and basically our donations are from the Rotary clubs,
yes,
in England.
Okay.
So the money comes from there, and it's so we have, when we have to pay some rent to keep the wheelchairs, well, the money goes there, and some to the therapists, some to the mechanics of the wheelchairs. I must say, the two mechanics of the wheelchairs are two amazing guys.
What are their names? Do you mind?
You know, Ivan and Carlos.
Ivan and Carlos. Thank you, Ivan and Carlos, for all the hard work you do getting these wheelchairs ready for the children.
Yeah,
I want to say thank you.
And they are handicapped also. They are in wheelchairs.
They're in wheelchairs helping other people.
So the work,
that's amazing.
The workshop of the bodega, of the warehouse, They run on the floor, you know, and they're building, and they're and they know what they need. They know what their companions need,
uh-huh,
because they've been in it.
They've been there.
We encourage people to use wheelchairs and to move by themselves and to make sports. We have this year, we had 3 basketball wheelchairs, 2 tennis wheelchairs, two special high distance, long distance.
For like running or jogging,
long distance for going. He's gonna go from here to Guadalajara.
Wow.
He's gonna make a one record there. Yeah, the guy, one of the guys, Ivan. Yes.
And how old is Ivan?
30.
Wow. And he's gonna go all the way from here to Guadalajara in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Trying to bring attention to not only himself but to an organization.
Yes,
that helps children.
That helps children
and young adults.
And adults also. We encourage to have children, but we get all sorts of ages and all that. The other thing we do in Therapies Unite, one of the other, it's once or twice a year, a group of British therapists from Lyell University come and make their service, professional service here in all the centers for children, for Down syndrome, for handicapped children. They work during 3 months here, mm-hmm. 2 months, 1 month, whatever they can, and they give away their time and knowledge, and that counts for the professional college, for their grades. And the other thing we do, which I like more, and I'm more into it, into that one, it's called the Halloween course. They lend us a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. Like right now, they're lending us the Puerto de Luna swimming pool.
Oh.
Every Thursdays.
That's famous.
And we get children, handicapped children, and handicapped adults and all that going into the swimming pool and teaching them how to walk or how to float or how to swim. And we have had a very good success with kids from six and over, because now we have six of those children are in the Puerto Vallarta team, swimming team.
Wow.
Paralympic team. And they go around in Guadalajara and Aguascalientes and all that, and they bring medals into it. So it is working. The program is working perfectly.
And you mentioned Punta de Luna Hotel Resort.
Yes.
I got to say thank you to Martha Dow.
Uh-huh.
She is a sweet, sweet lady and is involved in so many things here in this town. So I'm giving a shout out to her because she is involved in a little bit of everything. Her and her family and her brother and her parents. And I want to say thank you very much for them to loan you the pool on Thursdays help these children.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Okay, we've talked about a lot of things you have done. Is there anything else that our listening audience can help you with? If you have wheelchairs, maybe donate them. Or maybe some other people that are educators or health specialists that work with handicapped children. Do you need more volunteers? Of course,
yes.
We always need money to help these things operate.
Right. We always need money, but also we always need volunteers.
Okay.
We have many patients that can be helped one or other way.
Okay.
And if you have the time and if you have a little bit of knowledge or if you just have the will and the time, well, come with us. I mean, come close to us. We'll help you. We'll teach you what we know, and then you can help some children or some elder people that cannot move or you know, we just want to make, our goal is to make no difference at all between a normal child and our children.
Exactly. And that's such a great, great thing. How can we get a hold of you all as far as this project goes to help with donation of wheelchairs to children or to servicing of wheelchairs and other things, please, if you can,
mm-hmm.
give us your contact information and how we can get a hold
yes.
of them. Of course, we can always contact you at your phone number, and you said
yes.
that's 322-429-7182.
Yes.
And just when you call that number, ask for Mariano, and he'll be glad to help you. And other contact information, please.
And Halloween, Nadia is the therapist in charge of the Halloween program and the wheel program here. She's in direct contact with Laura Brown. Her phone number is 322 109 6927.
That's 109-69-322. So again, it's 322-109-6927.
Yeah, let me give you another one.
Okay.
322-149-4719.
Okay. And anything else you'd like to talk about that project real quick?
Well, we... Personally, it has given my life a twist. And I feel more blessed, more gratified. Every time somebody does a new thing in the swimming pool, or swims, or you know whatever it happens in the swimming pool, we all cherish that thing.
And so do the children. You're helping so many, and you're touching so many lives in so many ways. Not only with the wheelchairs, I can just imagine the smile of a young child that's been not able to be mobile, and all of a sudden now they are, because of the kindness of yourself and the other people that are in this project. And your art, it's just incredible, and I highly encourage everybody to come see your art, because a successful shop and a successful man gives you the opportunity to help pay back to others and give some of the things that you've been so blessed with, you're passing on. And that's why I love to talk to people like you. You're so interesting. You have such great history, great stories, but you help the needy here in Puerto Vallarta and the Bay of Banderas in so many ways. And I just want to say thank you. And please, if you're in the listening audience and you have an opportunity to help this organization, please do so. And again, you can contact these phone numbers, 322-109-6927 or 322-149-4719.
With Nadia.
I would like to say thank you very much. We've come to the end of the time that we have for today. But, Mariano, I want to say thank you very much for not only showing me your beautiful art, but telling us your stories and fascinating history. You're a very interesting person. That's why I have on the VIP show. And I look forward to getting to know you better and helping out where I can, and maybe our audience can do so. But thank you very much.
Thank you, my honor. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show once again. But, of course, I want to say thank you one more time to Mariano for his time and everything that he does for the needy here in the Puerto Vallarta area. We'll be right back.
The Good Morning Wake Up Show will be back in a few minutes.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home. Just a perfect day. Feed animals in the zoo. Then later, a movie too, and then home. Oh, it's such a perfect day. I'm glad I spent it with you. Oh, such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep. Just a perfect day. Problems all left alone. Weekenders on our own. It's such fun. Just a perfect day. You made me forget myself.
I thought I was someone else, someone good.
Oh, it's such a perfect day. Such a perfect day. You just keep me hanging on. You just keep me hanging on.
You're going to read just what you saw. You're going to reap just what you sow. You're going to reap just what you sow. You're going to reap just what you sow.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Wake-Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan, here on University of Guadalajara Radio, 104.3 FM. We are going to have another segment of the VIP portion of the show. And as you all know, that's the very interesting people, the VIP. And today I'm very lucky to have a young woman here in the studio, Vanessa Armando.
Amaro.
Yes. I didn't say that right, which is pretty common for me, but thank you very much for coming. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you to you. Thank you for inviting me here.
Vanessa is originally from Mexico City, and she's lived here in Puerto Vallarta for how long?
I came here last year. I have 1 year here.
1 year here. Well, congratulations. I'm 3 years, so we're neophytes, somebody that's new at something together. But I met her through some friends, and she, I don't know if it's a hobby or a profession, I think it's a profession.
Yes.
Opera singer.
Yes.
Correct?
I am. I'm studying in the Conservatory of Mexico City.
Okay. And you have sung in operas in Mexico City and other areas?
Yes, I was singing in a lot of places and auditories and, well, concert halls.
Concert halls?
Auditory.
Places like Carnegie Hall and things like that. Well, one day, I'm sure in Mexico City there's some beautiful, beautiful, I know in Guadalajara there are.
In Guadalajara and in Degollado.
Yes. I don't know if we have a beautiful, beautiful concert here in Puerto Vallarta, do we? Mm-hmm. Is there somewhere we can really let it out if we want to?
No, here we
not
we
yet.
No.
Well, maybe that's what we need to work on. I know the university has a very nice 600-seat theater here, and maybe we could have you come here and put on a show one day.
Oh yeah,
I'm always trying to get talent here at the university, because opera is something, if you've never heard it, a lot of people are afraid of opera. It's kind of like the symphony. Mm-hmm. They don't think, well, I'm not upper crust. It's not about that at all. It's very, very beautiful music. A lot of it is in Italian, correct?
Yes.
And because opera, I think, was original from Italy many, many years ago. I may be wrong on that.
No, yes.
I am correct?
Yeah, correct.
I remember a little of that music in daily life. But she's been here about a year and a half, and she has sung. How long have you been singing professionally?
I think 15 years old.
15 years?
Yes.
She only looks like she's like 21, so she must have started when you were very young, like 5 or 6.
Yes. I started with the opera at 18 years old.
But you've been singing since you were a little girl, probably, at home?
Yeah, when I was 12 years old.
Wow, wow.
With my guitar. But I didn't sing opera.
No, not opera.
Yeah.
I haven't heard too many guitars in the opera. But I'm sure there are one or two somewhere. Well, how about other family members? Do you have a mother, father, grandparents that were in the opera or were in music at all, performers?
No, it's a weird thing because I'm the crazy girl of the family.
Yeah, the first one,
The first one, yes.
And you started playing guitar and singing at a young age, just probably popular stuff. Popular music like Mana and Paula Rubio. And now I'm just thinking the people I do know that are Mexican groups.
Yes.
There's some great, great performers here in this country. And being married to a young lady that's Mexican, I have always enjoyed the music because it's always uplifting, ranging from mariachi to the more different types. There's many, many different types of music.
Yeah.
Of course, in the United States, we have blues, we have jazz, we have rock and roll, and we have gospel, a lot of Christian music. But Mexican has its own. They have mariachi. They have rock and roll. They have, what's the real loud one? They go, bop, 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 bop. Bamba? Bamba?
I don't know.
I think it's some kind of bamba music. I don't know.
Or bolero.
Boleros.
Mm-hmm.
But you started singing just regular popular things as a young girl?
Yeah, I remember my father, it's an engineer, but he plays the guitar.
Uh-huh.
And I remember since I was 3 years old, I listened to my father playing the guitar, and I don't know, I think that's the moment that I feel it, that I love music, I want to play that guitar, but my father doesn't want to that I play it because he told me, no, you're gonna crash the guitar. And I just was listening and see him how to play that.
Well, at that age, the guitar was probably almost as big as you were.
Yeah, I'm very tall now, but no, in this moment
she's a very beautiful lady. And I have drums. I've always had drums. I started playing drums when I was 9 years old, and I gave them to my daughters, and they really didn't care much for the drums. Now my grandson's a different story. He comes down, he beats those things all day long and all night long. I say, Lana, it's time to go to bed. Grandpa's got to go to sleep. So you played regular music, and did you perform other types of music at shows and that, but not opera, but other types of music when you were growing up?
Yes, I was in the school.
Yes.
I lived in Coatzacoalcos, Veracruz.
Okay.
When I was in all my I think the secondary and high school. And I start with here we call it Estudiantina.
Okay.
It's a group of person in the school, many students, with guitars and singing. And I say, oh, that's my opportunity to start to learn music, to learn to play guitar.
Uh-huh.
And I was very happy in that moment. I remember me practice the guitar, singing, like 5 hours a day, and I never get bored.
That was your passion.
Yeah, I knew it since I was very young.
And I'm sure you're probably a pretty good guitarist. Did your father help you later on learn?
Yeah, he helped me.
I'm sure he did. He's very proud of you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he likes all the when he listened to me in the conservatory singing opera. I remember in my first recital. He cried. He was
crying.
Yeah.
I can imagine it'd be very, very touching to see your daughter up on a large stage performing in front of many, many people. Mm. And I'm sure it just touched his heart.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did. Well, you played quite a bit of different kinds of music, and then you were in groups with your high school friends.
Mm-hmm.
When did you break out to be solo? Because opera is not really you don't do it by yourself. You do it with a whole group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's playing their part. And when did you start getting really serious? When you were 18, 19, or 15, you said, that you started really training? Because an opera voice is very, very special.
Yeah.
And it's completely different than singing, regular singing, correct?
Yes.
And when did you decide you wanted to choose opera instead of something more modern, rock and roll or something like that?
I think when I went to Mexico and I started to study in the conservatory, and I start to listen all my fellows, And my teacher, her name is Alicia Cascante. She teach me how to sing opera. And in this moment, when I listened all these voices, I was like, wow, what a wonderful thing. And the music, when I listened for the first time, Mozart or Beethoven.
Very powerful, very strong.
Yeah, no, it's another thing. It's another world. And I say, oh, I want to sing that. Because you feel it in the body. It's like magic, I don't know. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And when I listen to me singing that in that way, because I sing with head voice, I say, oh, this is a lot of harmonics in my voice and very heavy. And I say, okay, I'm going to start to do it this.
Well, apparently your teachers at the conservatory heard you, and they knew you were a prodigy, someone that had the talent, had the God-given blessing to be able to sing, which most of us don't have. So I'm sure they heard that, they nurtured you, they trained you, they educated you, but it's the God-given talent that you have that they helped shape along. Plus, it's a lot of really, really hard work.
Yeah.
Many, many, many hours of practicing, and I couldn't remember all the words, much less. You probably sing in Italian a lot?
Yes. I love very much Puccini, and I sing a lot of operas, arias from Puccini, and they are in Italian. Yeah. Sometimes I love to sing chanson music that is in French. And we have to sing too in French or in German that I love very much, Lied, the Lieder, from Schubert, from Schumann. And yes, I think we have a very big world that you never finish to study that music, that it's very beautiful.
Well, I know a young girl, and I don't know her. I can't say that. I know her uncle very well. And she's 15 years old. She lives in southern Italy, and she put out a CD. And it's there's two songs in Italian, but the rest of them are all in English. But she's a very, very talented young girl at 15, and I don't know if she'll ever be an opera singer, but she sings more of a modern genre. But just to try and sing in a different language must be very difficult, but to sing with the emotion and the passion that opera has in it. So we're going to have to take a break right now. If you don't mind, we're going to come back and continue our conversation with Vanessa, and we'll see if we can't maybe nudge her to sing a tune or two, okay?
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Good Morning Wake Up Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Good Morning Wake Up Show with your host, Michael Nolan. And today we have Vanessa with us, who is a trained classical opera singer. And we are very, very fortunate that she has said she would sing a little song. So she's going to sing along to a song called Time to Say Goodbye. And here we go. A first on the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Wow, 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 wow.
Thank you.
The whole studio is going crazy and everybody is applauding. Thank you very, very much.
No, thank you.
I hope someday I can get you here at the University of Guadalajara and have a concert. And I'll even get out there and peddle some tickets. I guarantee we'll get some money going on this one because we don't have an opportunity to hear a beautiful, beautiful angel sing like that. And I want to say thank you very much for your time. Thank you for talking about your history. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Is there any concerts you have coming up here in the near future, or to where we can come listen to you perform?
Yes, here in Vallarta, there's I think it's different from Mexico, that I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of shows for the people who came from other countries.
Yes.
And there's, for example, places like Encanto Vallarta. It's a, how to say it?
It's almost like a
speakeasy show.
Yeah, they also have Dan Manini, who owns Act 2 Stages here.
Act 2.
He was here a couple
mm-hmm.
weeks ago, and we actually, Dennis and I and our wives, went to see Trio, which was the winners of the Voice of Vallarta the last 3 years.
Yes.
They put the three girls together as a group, and they have a show at the Act 2 Stages.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, you didn't enter that competition, did you?
Mm-hmm.
We could have the 2017 winner sitting right here. But I think you sing a much more professional, classic type of music than what I heard at the Vallarta Voice. But anyway, I want to say thank you very much for taking your time to come, and especially thank you for that beautiful song that you sang. I look forward to getting to know you better and hearing you sing again. And I'm going to talk to President Marco Antonio Cortez to see if we can't maybe get a concert here at the university in September, October, if you're still here. We're still fortunate enough to have you here. We could do that and have all the students and faculty get to listen to your beautiful, beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. And yes, of course, if I can sing here, I'm going to come in with all with all my love and with all my...
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, Vanessa has to leave. She has a lesson to give. And so I guess there's some other lucky young lady or man here in town that's getting to train under you, and you're passing on everything you've learned. So, again, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, your information, and the beautiful song that you did for us.
Thank you,
Vanessa.
Thank you to you.
We're going to take a break. I don't know how I'm going to top that. I guess we're just going to have to end the show here, because there's just not any way to top something like that. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back more Good Morning Wake Up Show here in just a minute. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
My heart is turned to stone. Oh, darling, darling, what have I done? Now I don't say anything at all. Well, God, don't listen to me no ways. Now I'm left here all alone. Ooh, I hear what say, that poor boy, he's lost his way. But I let the others pray. Oh, darling, darling, what have I done? Now I do my talking with a gun, and blood will spill into the gutter. Stay in the morning sun. Ooh, tell me what the hell I've done. Can I stop at one, or have I just begun? Take out the bodies that live, Lord, it gets me high. I think I'm gonna get my fill of taking lives. Lord, I don't wanna let my baby die. Well, I just wanna give her something warm to cry. Ooh, darling, darling, what have
long, and all my days have turned to darkness. Hell is leaving the light on.
I want to say thank you very much for everybody that came into the studio today and did interviews with us for the Good Morning Information, for the Good Morning Wake Up Show. We had some great, great information from our guest. I hope you had an opportunity to write everything down. If not, contact me here at 104.3wakeupshow@gmail.com. Send me an email and I'll be glad to send you the contact information again if you didn't get it written down. Well, it's end of the show time. I want to say thank you very much. I hope you have a great week, and we'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for more of the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged skies, and up a cloudy draw. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny, and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yo! Faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, their shirts all soaked with sweat. He's riding hard to catch that herd, but he ain't caught them yet. Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. All the horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Riders loped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell riding on our range, then cowboy, change your ways. If they are with us, you will ride, trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yo! Riders in the sky.
104.3 FM University Radio Network has brought you the Good Morning Wake Up Show. Be sure to tune in and listen next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Hasta la vista.